We're back to the Neil Haley Show here on the Total Celebrity segment. I'm excited to welcome the program my co-host, Kim Sorrell, author of Love Is. Kim, how are you? And I know you're excited about our guest.
Neil, I am very excited about our guest. I'm doing great. I hope that you are too. But I'm so excited because Eric, you're a very handsome man, first of all, I gotta say. But I know that priorities in your life have got to be Carrie, your beautiful wife. You've got two gorgeous daughters, Ella and Katie, and I'm sure that those are the key things for you. But you've also been on TV and movies and on the stage, and you've done so much and you do so much, and you're famous for some of your roles, Nashville Without a Trace. I mean, you've done so many great things. And then this new movie, The Mulligan, that you also not just have to be an actor, but you've got to be a great golfer for the movie. So that kind of is a different twist. And then you're starring alongside Pat Boone, which is a legend in his own right. And so Eric, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. And you're too kind. The handsome comment, it's really these filters on Zoom. That's what it is.
Yeah, well, so The Mulligan, you know, you've been on Hallmark, one of my favorite channels. I got to say, I love those movies.
Mine too.
Yes. But The Mulligan is a whole different ballgame, and that is so good and so rich and so meaningful. And I know it's going to change people's lives by watching the movie. How did that come about for you?
Well, I was doing another movie in Toccoa, Georgia, a couple years prior to The Mulligan, and I was playing golf there, and this guy I was playing golf with, his dad is a producer, and he said, hey, my dad's working on developing this movie that's it's a Christian film, but it's based around golf, and it's a long way off, but would you ever be interested? And I said, absolutely, if it ever comes to pass, let me know. A couple years later, I got a phone call, and they said, hey, this is real now. Are you still interested? I read the script and I went, absolutely. Ironically, the book that the movie is based upon, called The Mulligan by Wally Armstrong and Ken Blanchard, I actually am friends with Wally Armstrong. I've known him for many, many years. And so when I found out it was his book, I was, I said, okay, this is clearly orchestrated by God that I'm supposed to be a part of this movie.
Now, so are you a golfer yourself, Eric?
Am I a good golfer?
Yeah, but you're
just a golfer. there's two different things. I love golf. As a matter of fact, I told a friend of mine yesterday, it's one of the great passions in my life. I started playing the game when I met my wife, because if I didn't, I probably would have been, kicked out of the family. So I love the game. It's had a lot of meaning in my life, and helped me develop some wonderful friendships and the fellowship around the game. I'm so grateful for it. And it has a lot of life lessons in it, and that's you see that in this movie. It's golf. A lot of people debate what golf means, G-O-L-F, but I almost feel it's sort of like, it's a kind of a game called the game of life, because so many things that happen in golf represent things that happen to you in life.
Yeah, that's so true. I actually just sold my golf course. So I'm kind of passionate about the game myself. And you've got a great swing. So you obviously are a pretty good golfer. And so
yeah, well, I will tell you, Kim, that when you're filming a movie about golf, I have a pretty decent swing. But when you're on the golf course, there's a lot of pressure. And so the errors come and, it's just going to happen, because you're trying to hit a ball in a specific spot. When you're on camera and you're trying to remember your dialogue and you're hitting ball, you don't care where the ball goes. You just want to look good. So I remember one day we were out there and I hit a ball and I thought, oh boy, that was a great shot. And the next, everybody's kind of watching, where'd the ball go? And I'm holding my pose like, oh, that was a great shot. And bam, it hits a guy's golf cart and everybody erupts in laughter because I shanked that ball full so far left. And it looked good on camera, but it was not a good shot.
That's the funny thing about when you talk about things, is you got to look good versus really perform when it comes to acting or anything. I'm sure you're in a sport like basketball, you got to shoot it and they got to make it look like you made it, right? You might not exactly. Even know it, but as long as you look good, in the whole reaction and the whole thing versus really what's happening.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'll tell you, I debated when I first decided to take on this role, Paul McAllister, I debated whether I should have a more unorthodox swing, because when you go out and play public golf, you see all kinds of crazy swings. And then I thought, no, this is the kind of guy that he really strives hard in life to be kind of a perfectionist and good at what he does. So I assumed that he would at least have a pretty decent looking swing, because I think he's probably worked at it, because you could see how he is and how frustrated he gets when he's not playing well. So, but there was a moment where I thought, oh, it might be fun to have a really funky swing, but chose not to.
Probably a good choice, because yeah, that certainly is the kind of character he is, with his business, with his life, except his family, of course, but yes, in other areas, trying to be the best of the best, even though he broke a club and threw it into a pond.
Yeah. And that's what's a great line that Tom Lehman, the professional golfer in the movie, says to Paul. He says, you know, Paul, you're not good enough to get that mad. And I think anybody who plays the game of golf as an amateur gets to that point where they have to come to that realization. And I know in my own life, I did. You know, I really loved the game, but I took it too serious earlier in my life, and it took some of the joy out of it. And I think sometimes that's just life in general. You take it so serious sometimes, and you lose the joy of the journey of it. And even during the difficult times, you can be so focused on what's not going right that you forget to look at what is going right, or the joy of a relationship, even if, you know, recently we've lost a couple people in our family, and you can just totally focus on that and the grief of it. Or you can look and go, wow, what a great life and the memories we did have together. So I think that was a great lesson in the movie, is just, hey, don't take things so serious all the time. Don't sweat the small stuff.
You got to look at the seed and benefit for everything that's happened in your life, regardless of good, bad, the ugly, because it's a life lesson. Everything you do in life is a lesson to move mm-hmm. forward. You know, we relish always and only the good things that happen. When bad things happen to good people, which it happens to everyone, what seed of benefit are we going to gain from this? What is the reason why this happened to us? There is a underlying cause to this. And how do we move forward with that? And that's the huge thing, Eric. We don't, we miss out in life, and we don't enjoy life because we're always looking to get upset and angry at our mistakes, or
absolutely,
or feel bad for ourselves instead of moving forward to see how can I serve someone else.
Yeah, it's you're spot on, and if you embrace life that way, trusting, and this is the aspect of faith, is that you can have faith, but if you're having faith only because you expect, oh, if I have faith, life's going to be perfect. You know, and I've a lot of times I've heard people say, oh, I've been following God my whole life, and I have all these bad things happening in my life. Well, it's like, well, that's real life. And I've been guilty of it, where I've felt like, oh, you know, if I'm paying my tithes and I'm going to church every Sunday and I'm being a good boy, nothing bad's going to happen. You know, God's going to, like, you know, put his favor on me. Now, I will say he has poured his favor out on me. I'm so grateful for my life, but there's been a lot of hard times too, and difficult things. And oftentimes not because of anything I did. It's just, that's life. And you can either let it really push you in a dark direction, or it can strengthen your faith.
Yeah. Well, and it's amazing the things that we go through, how we're then able to help other people through it. We can relate in a whole different way. When I was diagnosed with cancer a few years ago, people would say, oh, Kim, why you? Why you? You know, you do this, you help people here, you do that, you know, why you? And my response was always, well, why not me? Like, why would I be immune? You know, what would make me any different? You know, I love Jesus with my whole heart. That doesn't mean that you're not going to have some trials in your life and go through some hard times. But I'll tell you what, I can talk to people going through cancer, unlike people who have never been through it before. And I'm sure you probably have things that you've gone through in life that are the same.
Absolutely. You know, my brother, when he got cancer, he called it his blessed burden. And even though it was hard for him, he, even in his, even when it got to the worst, he still would take the time to, like, a guy would come over to clean the carpet. And, you know, my brother would be pretty close to the end of his life. And he'd be like, hey, can I pray for you? What's going on? And the guy would go, oh, yeah, I've had this thing going on in my life. And suddenly my brother's taking the attention off his cancer and trying to pour into somebody else. And, you know, every day wasn't like that. There were tough days where he was, you know, shaking his fist at God. And why is it me? And, but then his faith, his strength and his faith in God got his perspective back on track, and he was able to take that and really live into that term that he gave his cancer, called a blessed burden.
In this movie, The Mulligan really shows faith in so many ways without giving it away, right, Eric? Explain your character a little bit more to people and understand who you're, also who's around you, and how this is going to be a really great inspirational movie for people.
Well, I think a lot of people can relate to Paul's journey in the movie. You know, I find that at his core, Paul's a good guy, you know, and he means well. He wants to be successful. He, you know, this is kind of the path in life. You know, we're all kind of taught, go to college, do this, you know, work really hard, nose to the grindstone kind of thing. And, but also we are a product of our upbringing and different things that have happened to us in our life. And Paul, you know, had a pretty rough childhood in the sense that he didn't have a great father figure. And so that kind of fueled him to sort of in his life prove to dad that he was better than who his dad was. And that drove him to be uber successful, but, and he becomes very successful in the world's terms. But unfortunately, the cost of that is that he's losing his family. His marriage is falling apart. He's estranged from his son. And those are the important things. So he's got this massive wallet and he's, you know, bank account, but he's losing the most important things in his life. And through the game of golf and meeting this guy, old pro played by Pat Boone, and he played this role brilliantly. Through the lessons of golf, the life lessons I was talking about earlier, the old pro is able to help Paul put things in different perspective and help him see his life in a different way and see what's really important, and that he can still be successful. He can still have a successful business, but find it, a restructuring of balance in his life. And what I love about the message is that while you're still on earth, you have that second chance. And God gives us more than just one second chance. I mean, we get lots of chances and they're there. We just have to be willing to take them admit that we've messed up sometimes and go, man, I really have messed this up, but I want another chance. And I love those. I've always been drawn to redemption stories. That's what I love about, you know, It's a Wonderful Life. And you can go on and on. The list of, you know, redemption stories are awesome. And that's the grace of God. And so I love that about this movie, that this guy, and look, he has a choice. He has a choice whether he's going to accept it and make that shift, or he's just going to go, that's a bunch of hooey. I'm going to keep just doing what I'm doing and lose my family and my son. And Paul's a prideful character. No question. He's got a lot of pride. And I think that's his weakness, is his pride. And you know, he eats some humble pie in the movie, and I think that also helps, you know, realign him a bit.
Yeah. Well, even in taking a mulligan, right? And the thought of taking a mulligan, he was so against it. And then when he really understood it, it was humbling. Yeah.
The mulligan, if you play golf, I love the game of golf. I don't like mulligans when I'm playing serious golf because they're not part of the rules. Mm-hmm. But in a friendly game and you're playing with your friends and someone goes, take a mulligan, it means so much. And in getting that, you know, and most golfers will give each other a mulligan on the first tee. So you go and if you hit a terrible first shot, then you go, okay, I'll take mulligans. But I will tell you, more times than not, if I've hit a bad first drive and I get a mulligan, the second one's usually pretty good. And it's, because he kind of relax and And in life, sometimes it's important to get that mulligan, to get that second chance. And there's no rule in life that says you can't get a mulligan.
And I think in a lot of ways, the mistake, a challenge, a thing where, you know, it didn't work out as we did, that's the mulligan to move forward and move forward the next day and the next opportunity or the next situation. You know, oh man, I lost a client. Oh man, I lost this job. Oh, I lost a relationship. Well, it's time to move forward for the next thing. You can't just wallow in your sorrow. You got to move forward, as I talked about, the seed of benefit and everything. And what is your goal, Eric? It seems like you chose this movie in a lot of ways, or chose you in so many ways. What is your goal? What do you want to see the movie? What do you want the viewers to get out of seeing this film? What do you hope?
Well, first of all, I hope it draws people closer to a relationship with Christ, with Jesus. You know, that's the most important thing, that they, because without him, you know, life really doesn't matter. It doesn't mean it starts with him. It starts with a relationship with God. So I hope that the movie inspires someone to say, man, I really can't just do this life on my own, you know, by my own strength, because nobody really can. Even the most successful of the world standards, they may think, oh yeah, I got it all together, but life has a way of humbling us all. So that would be my first goal, I think, is just that I would hope that this movie would inspire somebody to have a to kind of, you know, maybe they're like, God, really? At least just kind of explore it and just say, hey, God, if you're real, help me. I'd love to know you better. So that's important. But also, I want people to be entertained. I want people to enjoy the performances, enjoy the stories. And I was just thinking about this on the way here, on the way to the interview to talk with you guys this morning. I was thinking about the story about the 99, where it talks about the shepherd leaving. If he has 100 sheep and he leaves the 99 to go find the one lost sheep, right? I feel like if this movie inspires one person to try and heal a relationship, a broken relationship, whether it's with a child or a spouse or a friend, or to turn a path in life where maybe they made some poor choices, whatever it is, my hope is that even if it's one person in a movie theater that sees this and their life is affected by it in a good way, I feel mission accomplished. And at the end of the day, if people just go away entertained and they feel great and they're like, you know, I'm feeling pretty good in my life and I like where I am in my life, I feel strong in my relationship with God and all that, they're just going to see a great movie, good, wonderful performances. You know, like I said, everybody did an awesome job. Michael did a fantastic job as a director, and it's beautifully shot. You know, we shot this amazing golf course, the Curry Golf Club in Toccoa, Georgia. And also, like I told you, I love golf. I'm passionate about it. So if it inspires some people to go out and give it a go, I would love that, because I love growing the game. I love to know when people come to get excited about the game of golf and embrace the tradition, the history of it. So, you know, if someone comes away from the movie and goes, yeah, I think I'm going to go give that game a try, it looks fun, or, you know, go for it, that's cool too.
Yeah, I love that. I love all of it, the whole mission. And, you know, some of it comes down to people being willing to change, or knowing that they can, knowing that they're allowed to change their opinion on something, or better their life in whatever way, or even take up the game of golf. The movie, I feel like it gives people permission to do that. Like, you don't have to stay where you're at. You can move on. You can strive for something better, something greater, a better life for yourself, for those around you. And that movie, to me, does that.
Yeah. I'd say that I think my primary goal with this movie, my hope for this movie, is that it would inspire people to seek if they don't have it already, a personal relationship with God through Christ, that they can have that relationship. And because really, in my opinion, life really isn't full without that relationship with God. And so I think that is number one. And then number two is I just hope that people are entertained There's great performances in it. The movie's beautifully shot. I hope that there's a chance that if people are struggling in maybe their relationships in with their family or friends, or their own personal life, if they're just, they don't feel worthy, that it will inspire them to know that there is second chances and more than that in life. They just have to reach out and be willing to accept those second chances. That's the mercy of God. That's the grace of God. And that comes through friends and families, acquaintances, a colleague at work, a stranger sometimes. And I also hope that maybe if people are looking at this movie going, well, that golf, I've been thinking about playing golf or giving it a whirl. It maybe it would just inspire them to go out and give it a try or get their kids into it. It's a great thing for parents to do, you know, a father do with his daughter or his son and go out and play golf. Or, you know, my wife and I are now empty nesters. My wife and I go play golf together. It's a great way to fellowship together. It's a fun sport. It's healthy. You're out there in the fresh air and it's a challenging sport. It's really hard, but it's so rewarding when you start to kind of get the hang of it. And I would hope that the movie would inspire people in that way as well. But most importantly, you know, just a relationship with God and also just knowing in their life that it's there are second chances and not to give up.
That's very important.
Yeah. And I will tell you, you know, there was a woman who had reached out to me. The movie had premiered in the movie theaters in my hometown. And the next day I received a DM message from a lady that lives in a town right near mine. And she said, I just wanted you to know that my husband's not a golfer and he didn't really want to see a golf movie. And she said, no, let's go see it. And they went to see it. And she said, after the movie, he was so moved by the story that he broke down and started crying. And he revealed to her a bunch of things that he had been holding on to for years, like decades, that he never shared with her, about some unresolved grief in his life and guilt in his life. And that moment changed their relationship and took their relationship to a whole nother level. And there was healing. And just so my feeling was, even if that one person had an effect on just that one person, the movie was successful. And so I hope that movie inspires people to, you know, to reflect on their lives and seek him and grow.
Wow. And this movie reminds you of, Kim, what you learned in Love Is, going through this challenge of going and trying to figure out what love is for that journey, right, Kim, in writing the book?
Yeah. Well, Eric, I mentioned that I had cancer, and 4 months later, my husband was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and passed away 6 weeks later. Yes, and I, when I was through my medical stuff, found myself on the ground in Haiti within 2 weeks after the earthquake that killed 200,000 people. So I went there and worked, like the work that you do in South Africa, which thank you so much for helping kids and helping people there. And, but I questioned love. And so I dedicated a full year to learning the true meaning of love. And what I found out just kind of blew my mind. I used the love chapter as sort of a roadmap, and I learned so much about love. In fact, I'd love to share my book with you. I'd love to send you a copy.
Awesome.
I think you might enjoy it.
Absolutely. And first of all, I'm sorry, you know, to hear about the loss of your husband. You know, I went through that with both my mother-in-law and my brother, and within a year of each other. Just so, my brother died in December. And I know that journey, and I know how challenging it is. But also, you know, praise God that I'm sitting here talking to you, and you got that opportunity to be in Haiti. And I know some other folks that were down there right after that and how devastating that was, but know that, you know, people like yourself were there on the ground helping. And then now you're sharing it through your book, your experience, and encouraging other people, I think is just fantastic.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for everything you do. And it's pretty amazing.
I'm like I said earlier in the interview, I feel incredibly blessed in my life to have the career that I've had. When I first started, I didn't know what was going to transpire. I thought, okay, I'll give it a go and I'm going to try my hardest. And I really did feel God was calling me into this industry. I mean, I prayed about it and said, okay, if this is what you want me to do, Lord, just make it clear to me. And he made it very clear that this is what I was supposed to do. And I think I had mentioned to you, it opened doors for me, not only as a professional actor, but also because I've been so fortunate to do this, it's opened the world to me and my family and my friends. And I'm so grateful for the career that I've had and the blessings that have come with it, not only just being able to take care of my family, but it really has opened the world to me and my family. And, back in 2008, I was doing a series for CBS and they flew me to South Africa to do some promotion. And I did some PSAs for CBS Cares. And one of those PSAs was for an organization called CC Africa that became the Africa Foundation. And my wife and I got involved. And over the last, I don't know, what is it, since 2008, it's been quite a while, we've been involved in helping raise money to build schools and orphans and vulnerable children centers in certain communities in South Africa. And we just went back with our daughters and just got back 3 days ago. We were down there for 3 weeks and spent time in the community, and we got to hand over the latest preschool and this big celebration. And it was just awesome. And, and I'm grateful. And I was telling Kim that I hope that this movie plays all over the world and it makes it into different languages and people, because it's not, while the movie revolves around golf, it's a movie about life and how we deal with life from a faith perspective. And so I think that message will resonate with people all over the world, not just here in North America.
When I spoke to Tanya, that was when the movie first came out in the theaters. Now, this is the big announcement, Eric. It's available now everywhere else, right?
Yeah, it's available across streaming platforms. It's out on DVD. I love it because a lot of people that didn't get a chance to see it when it was in its theatrical release, because it was a limited release. Now people are, I'm getting emails and texts, people in, Facebook messages. Hey, we saw your movie. We loved it. And I got to watch it with my kids or with my parents or whoever. And that's the other thing I love about this movie. It has some pretty intense subject matter as far as, some tragedy in life that it happened to a couple of the characters. But it's a movie you can watch with your whole family. You're not covering your kids' eyes when you watch this movie. There's not, it's just a beautiful story that everybody can relate with.
Yeah, that's amazing. It is a great story and it's a great message and one that should be out there and one that I'm sure will touch a lot of hearts.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, best place.
That's my hope.
Eric, to find information on you, the organization that you're helping bring awareness, anything you want to give people to check out and where they can check out the movie. It's available on all the different streaming platforms right now.
Yeah. So I would say if you want to watch, if you want to see the movie, I would, Google it and just type in how can I see what platforms, and it'll be, you can see it on Prime and all those other streaming, sites. You can go to, I believe that you can go to Walmart and get the, the DVD. It's on sale there now. As far as different organizations, I would, if anybody has any interest in Africa Foundation, it's africafoundation.org or africafoundationusa.org. You'll be able to find that as well and just kind of see what the organization, the work that they're doing in the community. What's nice about it, and I won't go on too far because we're really here to talk about the movie, but the organization works with the communities and helps meet the needs that the community is trying, the needs they have, not going in and saying, oh, we're going to do this. They go into the community and they say, what do you need? And they go, well, because a lot of times people think, oh, we just build wells, so we're going to go build a well. But the community might say, we already have a well. What we really need is a clinic where people can come and get, their medicine or whatever they need, or food. They work in relation with the community and really seek what they need instead of forcing an agenda.
Yeah, I love that. But it makes such a difference, right? When you work alongside people instead of in front of them, and you just work alongside, and they understand the culture, they understand the real needs, they understand the language, they understand what's going on way better than we do, who just happen to be stopping by. So that's the way
absolutely,
to do it.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's working. I like what you said, working alongside instead of in front. Yeah.
All right. Well, fantastic, Eric. We appreciate it. Kim Sorrell, you can go to loveis.what, Kim, again? Loveis.
Loveis.info.
.info. I'll remember that.
Yes, not if you want to know what real love is, loveis.info.
Or Kim Sorrell, the only Googling Kim Sorrell. There's only one Kim Sorrell with two R's and two L's. So it's really simple. And people check it out. And I'm sure you're being Googleable more and more, Kim, every day with meeting amazing people like Eric. Eric, you're doing such great work, mission and everything. Everyone needs to check out the Mulligan and the story, definitely, and such great characters. And get out and golf. Enjoy life. Remember, there is more to life than work, as you'll learn in this movie. So I appreciate it, Eric. Appreciate it, Kim. Thanks again, guys.
Thank you. God bless you guys. Good talking with you.
Take care. You're listening and watching The Neil Haley Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.